Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Draft Week edition of the Hoop Talks NBA podcast, post-finals edition. We can touch on the finals for a second. I'm your host, Mitch Robson, more importantly, alongside Sean Woodley. Sean, do you want to give 10 seconds on the finals? Because I think we've all forgotten about them.
Game one was good. The rest was bad. It made me kind of sad.
I agree. Okay, moving on. Perfect.
Oh, we are an NBA podcast, if nothing else.
Yes.
I don't even know what that meant.
That was like the most self-serving line of like...
I don't know. I feel not the best today, Mitch. I'm in a very, very sleepy mode. So I will say some weird shit today, probably. I don't know.
After you blacked out during Harry Kane's last second header?
Yeah, that was part of it, for sure. Mm-hmm. No, I'm like doing the morning radio thing all week, and the first day is always the hardest, where you wake up at 4 o'clock or 4:30 to go in for radio. And then you feel like garbage for the rest of the day. But you don't want to nap, per se, because you have to go to sleep and wake up at 4:30 again. So this is the cycle I'm in for the next 5 days. We'll see how it works out. But yeah, I'm going to say some weird shit today because I am tired.
Poor Mike Greenberg here.
Yeah, yeah. That is me.
Yes. So, it's draft week. The rumors are a-flying. It's officially rumor season and emoji season, as the kids like to say. I would say my favorite time of the year, to be honest, considering the way the basketball has been the last couple of years.
Really? This is your favorite time of the year? The rumor part? You like this part?
Well, when the playoffs are really just a foregone conclusion once we hit the finals, yes.
Okay, well, here's the thing is, I hate this time of year a lot. I like after July 1st when actual real stuff starts to happen and people get signed and you can actually like look at teams and be like, hey, that's cool. That team has this player now. What are they going to do next? And you can kind of like actually assess what teams are doing. Whereas like this week is just so much bullshit coming from every corner of the NBA. And everyone seems to forget that most of the stuff that comes out is bullshit. And most of the stuff that comes out comes from teams for a reason. And everyone takes all the stuff, or at least it seems to me like they take it like, oh, this is definitely going to happen. Let's do some trade machine stuff with it. And I hate it. It's just exhausting. I don't find it very useful. So I'm a curmudgeon. Yeah, I don't love the rumors part. I love the chaos when stuff actually starts to happen. That's why I like draft night, when things actually happen. Even though no trades that we ever expect to happen draft night actually do happen. It's always stuff that we never see because we're all idiots and teams like to keep their actual dealings pretty close to the vest, I would assume. I like when stuff actually starts to happen. That usually is on draft day, and then the night before free agency when you get sort of like actual real hard reporting, I think that's good as well. All the other stuff, like, oh, this team has called about this player. Like, I'm sure they have. Like, they would be dumb to not call about Kawhi Leonard, for example. Like, that's your job. If the Kawhi Leonard's available, you're supposed to call about him. And that's not really news particularly. That's just like, let's update that this team is actually doing their job.
So, after that rant of just misplaced anger, on the show this week, we've come up with our three most crazy things we'd like to see happen. So we're going to feed right into what Sean hates. Kind of a self-loathing exercise for you.
Oh, of course. I am definitely a hypocrite and will definitely take part in the nonsense. I'm not above that. What are we talking about here?
So what's your first crazy situation you'd like to see happen?
Yeah, did we lay out what we're doing today? We each have three situations that are like sort of realistic. Maybe not, but like could definitely happen this week, and that we would like to see. And we'll lay out our three. So number one for me, I think this would be deliciously funny, is Kawhi Leonard gets traded to a shitty team. I really want to see Kawhi Leonard on a shitty team. I like Kawhi Leonard as a player, and I don't particularly think he's that much at fault for what's going on with the Spurs. I think the Spurs carry some blame there as well. It's weird. I don't know. I don't really fault a guy for wanting to make sure he's healthy. I don't really know where to assign blame there. I think it's just more weird than it is sort of wrought with blame on one side or the other. But the idea of him getting traded by the Spurs, like the Spurs being so spiteful and being so married to getting the best possible package back for him, I just love the idea of him just getting traded to, like, the Mavericks or something like that. Or, like, the Kings, for example. And we'll talk about the Kings later on, I think, probably today, too. But, like, just, like, a really bad team that doesn't have any other stars to pair with Kawhi, that has a worse roster overall than even the Spurs, I would really relish seeing Kawhi traded there. I think it'd be really funny. And, you know, that team obviously would be setting themselves up for failure because they'd be trading for a guy who's almost certainly going to leave after 1 year, which makes it even more funny. So, yeah, that's my number one. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Kings possibility is honestly, like, the most entertaining one that it could be because, like, maybe with Kawhi Leonard, that team ekes out the 8th seed in the West, and then you have a nice little Bay Area, like, Northern California series with the Warriors the next year. Like, that's entertaining.
In which
Kawhi gets to play the Warriors again.
In which Kawhi Leonard will get hurt in the first game when they're up by, like, 15, and everyone will say, oh, man, they would have beat them if Kawhi Leonard was healthy.
Kings would have beat the Warriors, yeah. So, I mean, you can just, you'll be able to say the Kings would have beaten the Warriors, like, without irony.
Yeah.
So I think that would all be a win for us. Yeah, I mean, it's gotten to a point where it's a very weird situation of he obviously wants out, and you don't know how much of it is the uncle and the people around him kind of pushing to get to that new market, and so he can kind of become a well-rounded personality off the court. But I don't know, just with the way he it's not going to just come from him getting traded to the Lakers, right? Like, he doesn't have an Instagram account. He hasn't tweeted since 2014. These things don't just immediately happen once you become a Laker.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the Spurs are going to rush it. I think after you saw what happened with Kyrie and the Cavs when they kind of rushed into it and the return they got and how it blew up in their face, San Antonio definitely doesn't want that to happen, especially where they're going to have to make really tough decisions over do we want to try to stay competitive or do we finally hit a major reset button? We know Pop's probably going to be out in a year or two. And then Parker, Ginobili, Gasol, those guys are going to move on. Then you maybe try to move Aldridge as well. It's really an infliction point for them as a franchise where it could just go all downhill after such long success.
Yeah, they're just like a terribly old-ass team without all that much in the way of interesting talent. And if Pop's going to be gone in 2 years, like, I don't know, maybe that's when Messina steps in and finally gets the head coaching job he's been after for years now. But I don't know how much you can sort of pencil in like carrying over the success that Pop has brought. Yeah, the Spurs thing is so strange. And, like, again, I think one of your colleagues at the Score, I don't remember who wrote about this, might have been you, actually. I don't know, was it? About how, they, like, the Spurs aren't blameless in all this? Was it you? Was it Will?
I think it was a Will. Someone? It was the wonderful okay. Will Liu.
Yeah, of course. I knew you weren't capable of such eloquent prose.
College kid here.
But yeah, no, the idea of a really bad team overestimating itself and saying, yeah, let's get Kawhi Leonard in here, baby. Let's shake things up. Let's fill the new arena or whatever the hell they want to do. And trading away, like, the best asset. Like, my dream trade is the Kings trade, like, I don't know, Willie Cauley-Stein, De'Aaron Fox, and number two for Kawhi Leonard. And then Leonard leaves after 1 year, and they're stuck without their last two lottery picks. That's my dream scenario.
Yeah, that's pretty ideal. I mean, if you can swing that number two pick in there, it I guess you can call that a win for the Spurs. I don't know. Whatever you're trading Kawhi for, you're getting back 50 to 75 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you just ride it out, and as you saw what they did this year while he sat out, and then you do have that Godfather offer of the Supermax, and even though it seems like he seriously wants out, or at least the people around him do, like, when you have $250 million on the table in front of you, that's got to be hard to say no to.
Yeah, the Spurs, like, being a good franchise is, like, the large-scale version of, like, never bet against LeBron in the playoffs kind of thing. Like, I'll believe it when I finally see Kawhi Leonard in the name of a trade as opposed, like, LaMarcus Aldridge asked for a trade last summer, and Pop figured that shit out pretty quickly. So I wouldn't say that's completely dead yet, but I don't know. It feels kind of untenable there. And, like, I love the I couldn't remember who made the joke. I think it was Scott Cacciola from the New York Times or New York Post or New York Times, I think.
New York Times.
Yeah. Like, he commended the work of league sources on their coordinated effort to get the Kawhi Leonard news out at the same time when every single insider had the same scoop at once. So, like, when that comes out, when there's a coordinated effort by some source to say, yeah, Kawhi wants out, feels pretty real to me, but I guess we'll see. What's your number one thing you want to see happen by the end of the week?
Well, this just arose about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, up here in Canada, that Mark Stein had some little speculation with some insider tidbits that the Raptors are aggressively trying to get into the top 10, and everyone on the roster is available. So maybe Masai is finally ready to hit that reset button. They were rumored to be going after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's from Hamilton. Shouts to you, Sean.
Yeah, baby.
So, and I think to get a player of that caliber in the top 10 or 11 or 12, high lottery, You would have to be moving one of Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan. So I think that is a much more realistic possibility than we thought about even a couple of months ago.
I don't
optimistic, Sean.
It's not optimistic. It's just I don't think they're going to trade into the top 10 of the draft. It seems really dumb to me. And I don't really... Masai Ujiri doesn't strike me as someone who is dumb. It seems dumb to just piss away the best era your franchise has ever had for a low lottery pick. Like, yes, they can hit sometimes. More often than not, they are, like, fine players. And sometimes they're Joe Alexander. Like, it's... not exactly a guaranteed swing and a home run when you're going for someone who's like a 9 or 10 overall pick. Like, that's just not how it works. And people seem to be sort of overlooking the fact that DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry's contracts are very difficult to deal. The DeMar thing really, I think, has only made sense in the context of the Grizzlies when you talk about like getting Chandler Parsons' deal back and the fourth pick and something else probably for DeMar. Like, that's the only trade that really makes sense for me, just like from the outside looking in, like, as like for the Raptors and just as like an NBA trade, just like swapping value for value. That's the only one I really thought that makes a lot of sense, because like I think DeMar isn't quite good enough to trade into the top five straight up, so like attaching something to it has to sweeten it for the other team. And then like I don't think you get to a certain point and it's like, well, is like the eighth pick really worth trading DeMar DeRozan for? Like, I don't really know if, from the Raptors' perspective. So I think the sweet spot there is really hard to find, and you have to have a shitty contract to bring back the other way to sort of even it out if you're up higher in the draft. And so I don't know. I just don't think it's that likely. I think, first of all, people, whenever something comes out of the Raptors, it's probably not coming from the Raptors. Like, keep this in mind. They are so insanely tight-lipped about stuff, and the stuff never really gets out. And for Tony Jones, who is a good reporter, no doubt, for the Salt Lake City Tribune, when Tony Jones has a report that says that Kyle Lowry is like very available, take that with a grain of salt, because there are very few people that would actually have that information from the Raptors, and Tony Jones, all due respect to him, is probably not one of them. So that's sort of my thinking there. I just don't think it's particularly likely, and I think it would be dumb for the Raptors to do that, unless it's like a top three or four pick. Then I can get on board with it, because the upside of the pick is nice, and maybe Luka Doncic falls and you get him, who for some reason seems to be undervalued. That would be great. Thanks. Oh, you're one of those. Okay.
You're one of those. Okay.
This is why I don't really give a shit about draft talk, because it is exhausting and everyone has dumb opinions about stuff that you can't have an opinion about yet. But anyway, we'll get to that later probably. But like, if a guy falls to like four or whatever, I could see that making sense for the Raptors. Other than that, I don't really see it. And I don't think it's particularly likely to happen by the end of the week. We should probably rank how likely we think the thing that we said is going to be. So back to number one, Kawhi gets traded to a shitty team. What is your sort of gut estimate as to how likely that is to happen?
I would say for this week, for him to get dealt to a crappy team, I'm going to go about a 2 out of 10.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll say probably about a 3 or 4.
Yeah. And so for this DeMar Kyle getting moved, you broke it down pretty well there. I don't think Lowry's going to be able to move with the deal he's on, the age and just kind of the personality as a player. The Memphis deal makes sense with DeRozan, and now with Kalamian going to the Clippers, I could see if you maybe get both lottery picks, you consider trading DeMar there if he's coming, if you get Tobias Harris or something back as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the Clippers would feel like that's almost giving up too much for a DeRozan type of player. But like you said, most of the leaks you hear about the Raptors are coming from not the team side, but probably the agent side or something like that. So I'm going to have to give it a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. Want to move on to my number two?
Yeah, let's do it.
My second most thing I want to see that happen this week, this might be number one actually, because it's really funny. The Memphis Grizzlies think they're good, and therefore think it's prudent to trade the fourth overall pick. I just mentioned this, of course, with the DeMar thing. It doesn't have to be DeMar, per se. It could be anybody. It could be Kawhi. It could be, I don't know, some other guy who's out there that we don't know of yet, or just like some marginal upgrade to their team. I think it's very much in play. The Memphis Grizzlies do weird stuff all the time. They fire coaches willy-nilly. They seem to really think that they're something special, and they're not really anymore, because most of their core is gone, and it's Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and like a bunch of bums kicking around on that roster. Dylan Brooks is nice. Dylan Brooks is not a foundational piece for an NBA team going forward. And so I think Memphis, they're probably going to look at themselves and say, hey, Mike Conley only played like 12 games last year. If he played more, maybe we're better. Maybe we're not a disaster and we're not picking fourth overall. I think that's probably dumb because the Western Conference is insane, and this might be the best chance they have at a very high pick for a long time because they owe their pick to the Celtics, I think, next year, and like they're kind of a disaster waiting to happen. So I don't know. Maybe they'll look at their roster, say, "Hey, this is our chance to cash in, get a veteran player to go with Conley and Gasol to make another run at it, and it will end terribly." And I will laugh. What do you think about this scenario?
Yeah, I mean, there's what you do is if you're trying to get rid of a big salary, like a Chandler Parsons that has not worked out for you, you do it with a pick that's not in the top five of the lottery. Like we're seeing with the Nuggets trying to use 14. To get rid of Kenneth Faried, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, they're pretty much close to a finished product as a team. Maybe the only real upgrade they could use is a veteran player to kind of add to that core. And at 14, if you can use that as a sweetener to give it to a team that's rebuilding or whatever to take the Kenneth Faried salary off your books, I think you do that probably 9-10 times out of 10. When you have a fourth overall pick, no matter how bad the salary is, you got to swing for the fences on that, and you cannot just let, like, the tax implications or whatever it may be, or thinking you're going to get some kind of veteran player that is going to combine with Conley coming back off another injury and Gasol, who knows what his morale level is there right now. Like, I don't know how you can see that as an automatic path back to 50 wins, but if Robert Parra thinks it's possible, then you might just have to do it.
Yeah, teams getting scared by salaries. That's doubling down on their dumb mistakes by making more dumb mistakes to remove themselves of previous dumb mistakes. Raptors, DeMar Carroll. It's always fun. It's always a good time. I have a weird question. So I'm not a draft person at all. I don't really give it, as I've alluded to, I don't really give a damn, and we'll see what happens on draft night, and then we can make our opinions when we actually see these guys playing the NBA. But, like, it feels like for the Grizzlies, like, number four seems like a weird place to be picking because it's a very big, heavy draft. Outside of Doncic, most of the top prospects are bigs, and they already have Gasol, and a lot of the bigs seem to have flaws, whether it's Bagley or even Ayton or whoever the hell else. Where are you, like, if you were picking in this draft, what is the least desirable place, like, in the high lottery that you would want to be right now? Is it four where Memphis is? Or are you just going to, like, hope someone does something dumb and just get some of the falls?
Well, considering the way the Memphis roster is, like, all those other teams up there where you just have, you'll take the best player available no matter what, and they will fit on your team and get significant minutes, like, I think it's totally fine if you're the Hawks, the Bulls, whoever. But being the Grizzlies and them wanting to obviously stay the course and thinking last year was an exception to the rule, because it looks like they're gonna keep Conley and Gasol. Maybe they'll try to re-sign Tyreek Evans. Mm-hmm. Like, with those bigs, I don't really see one that the one that would fit beside Gasol would be Bagley, because he's not really a traditional center. He could actually be pretty solid at the four spot if he's playing in mismatches against teams that are going small ball or what have you. But, if Bagley goes off with the Kings at two, and then, say, Doncic goes three to the Hawks, then you're kind of stuck with Jaren Jackson, who looks pretty good. But for the Grizzlies, I don't know how he would really fit beside Gasol. They're really dependent on what the other teams do and just kind of stuck there hoping, I think.
Yeah, the draft. I feel bad for these teams because they know just about as much as we do. It's you get handed a very high pick because you had a shitty season because Mike Conley got hurt, and now you might be in a weird spot where you don't really know who the best pick is for you. But the Grizzlies are really fun to watch because they do dumb shit, and I believe in their owners to do something chaotic on Thursday, whether it's trading for DeMar DeRozan or something like that. And for the record, I think like a Conley, DeRozan, Marc Gasol core is pretty good, and we've seen something similar to that work pretty well for the Raptors. And assuming health, like that should be a pretty good team, if you can get some supplementary pieces to go around it. But I think that would be the wrong move for the Grizzlies, as they probably have to try to cash in on the first high pick they've had in a long time, and probably the last one they're going to have for a while. But if there's one thing you can trust the Grizzlies to do, it's fuck up a draft pick, because oh my god. They're so bad at it. Have you ever read Memphis Grizzlies draft history?
Yeah, Chris Wallace has not been the best when it comes to taking some impact players.
All right, let's play a little game here called read Memphis Grizzlies picks from the past. You down for this?
Sure.
Okay, so since 2009, so they drafted Kevin Love in 2008 and traded him. This was after they drafted Mike Conley and Kyle Lowry back-to-back years. So, hey, pretty good job. Nice job. Before that, it was Hakeem Warrick. And then we're getting way too far back. Going forward, 2009, Hasheem Thabeet, second overall. Damari Carroll, 27th. That was a decent pick. 27th? That's pretty good. And then someone named Sam Young, who I don't know.
Sam Young was in the league for like 5 years.
249 games?
Yeah, he was in the rotation. Yeah.
I don't really remember Sam Young doing anything. Weird.
He's pretty much like shittier Tony Allen.
Sam Young.
Yes. You're really...
Okay, he's familiar. Okay.
He has old man face.
Very old man face.
Yes.
Okay. Then 2010, 12th overall, Xavier Henry. 25th, Ooh. Dominique Jones. I don't know who that is. And then 28th, Grievous Vasquez, who's probably the best pick of that bunch. 2011, Josh Selby with the second round pick. They didn't have a first round pick that season. 2012, Tony Roten, 25th overall. Didn't really have, they only had the 41st, 55, and 60 in 2013, so we'll give him a break. Jamal Franklin was not very good, though. Jordan Adams in 2014, that dude was off the team extremely quickly, played 32 career games. Jarrell Martin is still on the team and is like their fourth best player right now, despite having a negative 1.2 value over replacement player in his career. So good job, Grizzlies. And then Wade Baldwin in 2016, who also is no longer on the team and is now, I think, on the Blazers, which is awesome. So yeah, if the Grizzlies do hold on to this pick, it's probably bad for them too. They're in a no-win situation right now. So, oh, the Grizzlies. Next up for you, what's your next one you want to see?
The next crazy thing I have seeing would be, this would really entertain me as a person that, I don't want to dislike Luka Doncic, because I have watched him play, and I've read interviews with him, and he seems like a very kind of Kristaps Porzingis-like kid. He's pretty cool, pretty entertaining guy, but the nerd section of the draft Twitterdom is so high on him and so discrediting to every other prospect that I would love to see him fall out of the top five and see the crap storm it unleashes on the internet.
I feel like wherever Doncic gets picked, there's going to be people mad online. I think that's just kind of the reality we're living in right now.
Yes. Unless, I think the sweet spot would be 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can really complain. Even 2, 3, or 4. I don't think anyone can really complain about that.
See, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know anything about the draft. Let's reiterate that one more time.
How many? We gotta have a counter.
Yeah, no. I know shit all about the draft. I'm not a draft knower by any means. When I see Luka Doncic play, he looks pretty good. He was the MVP of the ACB or whatever the hell. He was really good in EuroLeague. So that's cool.
Before we make the MVP of the EuroLeague argument that people are like standing up on, do you know the rest of the EuroLeague MVPs from the 2000s?
I'm sure Anthony Randolph won it at some point.
Anthony Parker won it twice.
Yeah.
Anthony Randolph won it once. Okay, so since 2004-05, they've been handing out the award.
Mm-hmm.
So, back-to-back, Anthony Parker repeated his first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after that, for the next 2 years, it was someone named Theo Papalaukas and Ramunas Sauskakauskas. So, whoever that is.
It's Milos Sauskakauskas. It's not that many syllables.
Okay. Come on. Juan Carlos Navarro, pretty good player. Milos Teodosic, pretty good player.
Yep.
Andre Karolenko, but this was after his NBA career.
Hey, you forgot Dimitris Diamantidis.
Yeah, so a small Greek man, I'm assuming.
He is a point guard, yeah.
Sergio Rodriguez, Nemanja Bjelica, Nando DeColo, Sergio Llull. So that grades out to, what, an okay NBA player?
Sure, but all of them were not 18 years old when they did it. That should count for something, probably, no?
I mean, I don't know, it just... Everyone, I think, is too in on, like, he's ready to come in and run a team from day one and be the best player on a team.
That's okay. That's probably a bad take, because no player is really ready to run a team from day one, and that's a bad draft take to have in general. But, like, I don't know. I think he looks pretty good. He looks like he can shoot. He looks like he's a playmaker. He's a wing. He's 6'8". So, like, I don't know. That's useful to have in the NBA. He seems good. That's all I'm saying. So I understand why people get upset at the total discrediting of him, because he seems pretty good. But sorry, your point of him dropping, I agree, that would be very funny because it would make a lot of people mad online. And I'm always here for that. It's always good when people get mad online.
Well, and it seems to be that a lot of the teams in the top of the draft, the longer this process has gone on, probably just due to the fact that they haven't been able to have him in their facility, because you know how much teams love that.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be dropping down the board more and more every day.
It's all going to culminate in the Kings taking him two, or the Suns taking him one.
Which would be the most incredible smokescreen and set up a DeAndre Ayton revenge tour.
Here's my thing about teams at one and two smokescreening. Why are they smokescreening? Who are they smokescreening for? Just take the guy you want. I don't understand.
But that's not playing the game.
Yeah, but what game is there to play? I want DeAndre Ayton. What am I supposed to do? Is tell the people below me that, I want Luka Doncic, actually? And just, like, if you're the Suns and you want Luka Doncic or DeAndre Ayton, just, like, say, yeah, we're going to take this guy. And, like, why does it matter? Why do you have to put out mixed signals? That's my question.
Well, I mean, it's kind of what happened last year, wasn't it? That the Sixers were worried that there was a thought that the Celtics might take Fultz number one.
Well, it was always good. He was always supposed to go number one.
Yeah, but then, you know, there was the stuff that came out about the Celtics like Tatum but still thought about Fultz, and then that pushed burner accounts Colangelo enough to make that move up.
Okay, look, just confusing really Brian Colangelo is not exactly like difficult. A high achievement.
Yes, now it's been proven.
Yeah, congratulations. You got confused by 13 games of Bargnani doing shit, so I wouldn't say like it's a high achievement to be like, hey, we got him.
Yes, yeah. I do hope if Doncic goes one, that he can rewrite the Euro bias of the number one pick, because it's pretty dark at the moment. But sliding out of the top five, if we had to go realistic, I'm going to go like a seven.
Like, that's likely it's going to happen? I don't think so. I think he's going to go number two, although I don't want him to go number two, because my third one is that I really hope Michael Porter Jr. goes number two. So once again, I don't know shit about the draft. Take a drink, but
I should have told me to fill up my glass.
I'm pretty certain Michael Porter Jr. is going to suck ass in the NBA. Everything coming out about him seems to suggest don't draft this guy. Seriously, don't do it. Just like draft someone else. His back is terrible. He's got other injuries. He's backing out of that workouts. There's some rumors out there that he's a MAGA guy. Just like, don't take him. Seriously, there's lots of other guys. Just take them instead. Don't take Michael Porter. But the Kings might actually take him number two if reports are to be believed. And Sam Amick seems to be pretty sure from USA Today. Sam Amick seems to be pretty sure that Michael Porter is like very much in the Kings' conversations at number two, which is amazing because that is almost certainly another sad chapter in the Kings being just a horrible misrun mess. When, like, Luka Doncic is right there. Like, him and Vlade, they can be buds. It's great. It's easy. Yugoslavia forever. But no, it's just, they might take Michael Porter, who might, like, crumble in his first NBA game if he gets dunked on. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Michael Porter? Because he was, like, the number one recruit coming in.
Yeah, well,
but,
okay,
like,
so
he just seems like he's not a viable pick in the top whatever. Like, it feels like if anyone should slide, it's probably him, but he might go number two.
Yeah, the thing with Porter is, it's in high school, he played for the Brandon Roy High School up in Seattle, Nathan Hale, and he dated Madison Pettis, Disney Channel star. So he's already been about, like, more about show than substance from day one of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got a chronic back issue at 19 years old, which is just red flags out the ass, I think, for me. I don't want to draft. And then he had hip spasms this week, too.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the ability where he was recruited in high school, like, his Ball Is Life mixtape is like the next Kevin Durant, which is obviously a stretch, but he's 6'11 and can shoot threes and handle the ball. So, like, that kind of framework of a skill set. But with the way everything's worked out, and just he went to Missouri, followed his dad, played with his brother. His brother ended up being better than him, considering he only played the three games. Like, I do not want my team near Michael Porter. If you miss on that one, oh well. I think you can look back and there's going to be enough options high in the lottery that you won't be kicking yourself forever. I don't think Michael Porter has potential to be an all-time great player. So, like, I would try to stay as far away from him as possible.
But Kings, if you're listening, Vlade, if you're listening, please draft him. Please draft him.
I think this is the most Kings pick ever, is that he plays like five games for them, looks like decent in five games, and then like the back gives out.
It's either the Kings or Grizzlies, right? Like those are both Kings or Grizzlies picks.
Yes.
Yeah. So congratulations on your short career, Michael Porter. You're definitely getting drafted by one of these teams. If you go somewhere else, you're probably going to have a nice long career. Like in the Magic, if you get drafted to Orlando, you'll be a Magic player for 12 years and no one will ever know your name, which is better than
Washington. Yeah, I was
going to
say, Atlanta or Orlando, you can just toil away in obscurity for no reason. Yeah,
miss a season or two with a shattered back and no one will notice. But if you're drafted by the Kings or Grizzlies, they attract so much negative attention to themselves that you're going to be noticed for being terrible. And I don't want him to be bad, per se. Like, I don't wish ill upon anybody, but it just seems like a very obvious, don't draft him, please don't draft him, and they're going to do it.
And he's already one of those outspoken types where you know that he will complain about the way one team's medical staff is handling him.
He said Kevin Durant's better than Michael Jordan? He's got that take, too. Don't draft him!
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. So, Kings will take him. I'm going to put that at 8 out of 10.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to your last one?
Yes.
All right. What's your last one?
Okay. So, we know that DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley have signed on with Puma.
Uh-huh.
This is my long road of getting to where I'm going to go. More than likely, one of those two, if not another one, will be on Uninterrupted, the streaming platform of LeBron James and Maverick Carter Enterprises, and probably announce their pick that way, just because it's the thing to do. Now, that won't be the only video to release on Uninterrupted that night, because when the Cavs come onto the clock at 8, ESPN is going to stop. Woj will look down at his phone and go, oh, I've got something big here. And then the screen will black out like it's being taken over by Russian TV. But a big Uninterrupted logo will flash. And it will be LeBron sipping wine on a yacht somewhere. And he will announce that he has opted in and forced a trade to either Los Angeles or Houston.
Yes. This is after Kawhi gets traded to a shitty team. I guess we could count the Lakers as a shitty team.
Sure, and then it will become not a shitty team.
Oh baby,
yes. So my final one would be, I think it's probably at a 1 in 10 of happening, but if if LeBron James if LeBron James was to opt in and force a trade on draft night, I think that would seriously break all of the internet, ESPN wouldn't know what to do, and it would make for a hell of a telecast and a fun night.
That is certainly true. The draft always like promises lots of intrigue and chaos, and then usually like Nerlens Noel gets traded, and it's like, oh, okay, that was fine. But a LeBron opting in, a LeBron decision on draft night, LeBron's probably not going to do this. He's probably going to take his time. He likes to go deep into July with these decisions, but if he is trying to make the conversation about him and keep it circled around him, this is the way to do it. You get Bill. I guess Bill Simmons isn't on the broadcast anymore. But imagine Bill Simmons if this broke while he was on the air.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Oh my god! I just pissed myself. LeBron's coming. I gotta get Lakers season tickets now. Sorry, Clippers. Yeah, but LeBron does normally take that. I think the average date when you compare the decision and the coming home was like July 16th or something.
Yeah.
But if he wants to go to a team that's not going to be able to sign him into cap space, which is only like, I think, three options, he has to opt in by the 29th.
Yeah, and you would figure the draft pick. I guess they're not using that draft pick. They would be trading that draft pick to get rid of trade LeBron. They'd be getting something else back. So maybe it's announced when, like, I don't know, when the Rockets don't have a pick. Well, this is going to be tough. Maybe it's like
the Lakers pick at 27.
Do they pick at 27? Yeah. No, the Celtics pick 27. Like, okay, Lakers pick 25.
They're late in the first.
Okay, yeah. Pick 25. So maybe it's at 25. Late in the night when it starts to be guys getting drafted who you don't really know, who you don't really care about, you're ready to turn the draft off and go to sleep, or you're just too drunk to really care.
That's that lull in between late first before it gets entertaining and funny in the second round.
Yeah.
It's just kind of
with Mark Tatum being so excited that it's his moment.
Yeah, and just drunk, like, New York guys are screaming, and a couple of second-round picks are in the crowd. Yeah. And everybody, yeah.
And there's
yeah.
so many Euros getting taken that you can't even, like, think. And the Spurs are definitely taking a guy who's going to come over in 3 years and be really good. Yeah, no, so at 25, Adam Silver comes out, says, we have a trade, or whatever the hell. I guess that's more of a Roger Goodell thing, or a...
I think they still do that.
Okay.
Stern used to do that.
Okay. So, yeah, Silver comes out. We have a trade to announce, blah, blah, blah. LeBron James has been traded to the Lakers for the 25th overall pick, blah, blah, blah. Then rolling on the screen behind him is not just the logos of the teams. It is just a transcription, a teleprompter of LeBron's latest piece for the Uninterrupted website where he explains his decision. Or maybe it's Lee Jenkins. I don't know. And they just scroll through it. Maybe Adam Silver reads it aloud. Maybe that's the way to do it.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Adam Silver narrates LeBron's moving on piece.
Yeah. And the best part would be that the Sixers pick 26. So it would be, oh, is it the picks? Is it the Sixers pick that's going to be dealt? And there'd be intrigue with that. Yeah.
I think we've set this at NBA, at ESPN.
At LeBron.
This is this is a way to break draft ratings. So, you know.
I fully endorse this. This would be better than even though the decision actually like helped benefit that Boys and Girls Club, this would be better than the decision as a way to move on teams or change teams.
What would you name this? The draft decision?
No. Oh God. Maybe I just like the nuclear Woj bomb or something like that.
See, I think Woj isn't really in the LeBron inner circle of newsbreakers.
No, and he hates it so much too.
I think he'd either go with his three Cleveland beat guys,
yeah,
or he'd just do it himself with like a Lee Jenkins or whatever.
Yeah. Oh man.
So yeah.
Yeah. I hope this happens now. It's a 1 out of 10 at best, but I hope it happens.
Yeah, Wendy might be like midway through a chicken parmesan. And
just oh, Wendy. I think are we good? Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put that at a 1.9 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going well below that, but it's a 10 in my heart. I would see that. We'll probably do a podcast on Friday after the draft, I think is the plan. Yeah, yeah.
So,
and then we'll probably do another one.
All of his draft takes off.
Yeah, we'll have to do another one to tee up free agency too, probably, I would guess, after the draft has happened. So at least two more podcasts by the end of the month from us.
That's big.
Maybe three. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a draft. Ooh, what do we should do? I'm pretty sure I'm off on the Canada Day on the Sunday.
I am working on Canada Day. So
okay.
Of us have to track this free agency.
Like the whole day?
I think I'm in from noon to 8.
Okay, well, after 8 o'clock,
I will be getting absolutely plastered somewhere.
Oh, well, after...
But we can do a podcast then.
Okay. You're really killing my idea of doing a live podcast where we react to stuff as it happens, because that's always fun.
Well, that would be exciting.
Yeah, but you have killed that idea, so that's fine.
Okay, so we'll just pretend that it's live.
Or we could just do one on the 2nd. And I'm sure stuff will still be happening. That's also a holiday, I believe. So,
oh, is July 2nd a holiday? Because it's Canada Day on a weekend this year.
Yeah.
Oh, double Canada Day.
Yes.
That's asking for a lot. I like that.
So we'll get you a couple of many podcasts coming the next few weeks here, because this is the fun stuff, even though it's dumb and speculative. There's still good stuff to talk about, so we'll have fun with it. So, yeah. Follow me on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, what else? Do you have any extra draft stuff coming this week?
Well, the Raptors don't have a pick, so doing a daily Raptors podcast on draft week is going to prove to be difficult.
You don't say.
Yeah, I'm having Robert Flom from the Clippers SB Nation blog. He's also a good draft dude. He's going to come on the podcast. We're going to talk about undrafted guys the Raptors might be able to go after, or like second rounders they could trade into. Probably also talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because of that rumor that came out today. So, that'd be cool. Maybe we'll talk about trading tomorrow for the 12 and 13 picks. So, that's on Lockdown Raptors tonight or tomorrow sometime. So, stay tuned for that.
Listen, folks. It's very hot here in Southern Ontario.
It's so fucking disgusting.
Stay inside. Listen to podcasts. Watch TV. Download the Score app. Read that stuff while you're staying cool. That's my suggestion. How are you enjoying the sticky weather? Because we know you're a big fan of it.
I want to die. I want to die so bad. I hate it.
The air conditioning in my new apartment broke, so I had to get a portable one, and once I set it up last night, I sat in front of it for an hour and didn't move.
That sounds good. It's insanely hot. My apartment is also pretty warm. I might just be that I'm a warm person and it's inescapable, but yeah, no, it's miserable. It sucks ass. Give me 12 degrees again, please. Give me Portland weather year round. That's my
12 degrees. That's my Portland signing off. Any parting words?
No. I hope the Grizzlies help make us happy this week. That's all.
Porter to Memphis. Thanks, folks. We'll talk to you after the draft. Cheers. Hoop Talks NBA podcast.
Sweet. Thanks, dude.